with gratefulness for two songs that take us to such a poignant and pointed moment, solitude of the garden where the man who was God, utterly committed to the will of his Father, confronted his fate and proceeded with firm determination. Join me in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 1 as we think some more about this one who was in the garden. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. We eat and drink in hope this morning. And here, I think this could be said about us. Paul says, I hear about you people in Colossae, and I know of your faith and love, but I know that those are caused by your recognition of the hope laid up for you in heaven. I believe that's true among us today. Skip down now to verse 9. And so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, once again, the writer, Paul, embeds statements about the conditions of people. He embeds that in an understanding of what underlies it. This time, you have been chosen, you've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Because of that, you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then, how did that happen? Because, in verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Once again, it all comes back to the man in the garden who received the kingdom. It's his kingdom, the kingdom of the beloved Son, and in him, we have redemption. My chief interest this morning is that this is somewhat prefatory. I want to pick up mostly beginning in verse 15. I want to celebrate even more. Our songs took us to this one moment alone in the garden where he asked that the cup might pass from him. But beyond that, he said, not my will, but your will be done. In that setting, we have this man, and I want you to see this one in a larger frame as the writer here wants to see. He wants to celebrate this man in whom we have our hope. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. I hope you notice that hope appeared a second time. Not shifting, we're told, staying with, steadfastly staying with the hope of the gospel. I've got to read ahead one more place because there's hope in there one more time. Beginning in verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory of the mystery. And what is the mystery? Look at this language. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be astonished with me in reckoning with that language, because the one who was there at the beginning, the one who was there in the garden alone, is now Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope of glory rests in this man of the garden. Go back with me to verse 16, and we see there piling up a collection of phrases. Look at these phrases as we trail along. By him, through him, for him, in him. And those are all about creation. All things are come by him, for him, through him. All things hold together in him. Do you understand? He is the object of our prepositions. And not only that, it goes on, the in him gets repeated again in verse 19. In him, all the fullness of God. He was the man in the garden, but he was God in the garden. All the fullness of God pleased to dwell in him and through him to reconcile. So not only did creation come through him, reconciliation came through him. Our hope laid up for us in heaven is the result of the reconciliation he enacted through himself, through his body. And we're told about reconciliation one more time in verse 22. And in fact, we get the last prepositional phrase here, before him. Now, before is not a reference to time. Look at the way it's presented to us here. In order to present you before him, on his throne, we will stand before him. He will present us before him in his body as a result of what he's done with his body that we're going to celebrate in just a moment. And that is our hope of the gospel. One more little set. I want us to remember just a cluster of verbs. I want you to remember a cluster of prepositions. By him, through him, for him, in him, before him. But also this list of verbs. As we eat and drink, we proclaim. The word proclaim appears twice in this passage. Verse 23, the gospel which has been proclaimed. And then one other time, I want you to know that we proclaim the death of the man in the garden. He died. And that is our work today. We have that duty to proclaim his death. But we don't only proclaim, we remember. We remember that he said to remember. We remember he sat with his disciples and said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what my body is. Remember what the blood is, the new covenant, or this drink is the new covenant in my blood. Remember when you eat and drink. Remember the hope. As we eat and we drink, let us thank Let us thank God that there is hope. That hope is in you, the hope of glory. Let us commune. And by that, I'm not trying to turn us into communists, but I am asking you to commune in two ways. We commune with the God of heaven. We commune with our Lord, who is our hope. But also, we look around. We do this together. We commune with one another as we participate in this modest, profound ceremony. Let us hope. When I eat and I drink in just a moment, I'm glad to be surrounded by you as this happens. I'm glad to be part of a company of the committed, because what we do is important and big and delightful. Let us proclaim, remember, thank, commune, and hope.